All right, welcome to the Uncut 90 guys. I am your host, Dolakpa, with a few special analysts here with me. First up, we have Rookie.
What up?
Hi. We have Vic.
What's good, boys? It's good to be back.
Okay, yes. Mandem is here.
What's up, man? I'm here as usual, man. Thanks to the fans for having me. The gods are ready to speak. Let's get it.
Okay. And last but not least, George is here.
Lil Pep. That's too loud. Ground up. Mute yourself. Anyways, Messi is a world champion. I'm here to give you guys like solid analysis, unbiased analysis. So yeah, just listen all the way to the end. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you guys for being here with us. Obviously, the first game week just happened. A lot of interesting things happened. I'm lying. I don't know if a lot of interesting things happened, but things happened.
A lot of interesting things happened this week.
Okay. Like what? What's the most interesting thing that happened, Vic?
We'll get there, but let's keep moving.
But just know a lot of things happened. I feel like we should talk about the Chelsea versus Liverpool game because that was a pretty big game going into it. And Chelsea and Liverpool have been, I don't know if you guys have been seeing the transfer market, but there's some big brother, little brother things happening. I don't know who's big. I don't know who's little.
There's only one person. There's only one big brother. I don't know what you're talking about, though.
Vic, who is the big brother?
If Vic is stuck, you already know who the big brother is. So it doesn't matter. Let's keep moving.
But now the game happened, end up being 1-1. Vic, real quick, as a Chelsea fan, from your perspective, how did the game go?
I don't know if you guys remember what I said the first podcast that we had. I just needed to see progressive football. I needed to see the boys fighting for something, you know. And honestly, that's what I saw on Sunday. I know I didn't get to watch the game when it was happening live, but after church, I went home. I sat down on my couch for 2 hours and watched the whole game. I actually saw something pretty good, man.
If you guys would you have watched the whole game?
No, I still would have watched the whole game because I wanted to see. I would love to see the reason why we actually lost, and you know who was like the reason why we lost. Mm. But that aside, you know, it was a draw. I watched the first 30 minutes or first 25. It was legit. I was crying honestly because before church, I think church was at 11, and I started watching the game at like 10:30 when it started. I saw like the first 15 minutes before I got into church. In the first 15 minutes, I was just...
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, my time. So I saw that first 15 minutes and Liverpool was just going crazy. They were just going crazy on us. And I was like, man, we're back again. This is like a whole new season. Chelsea is about to start doing the same thing again this season. You know, it's like our boys they just all look shaky. I understand it's the first game of the season. Most of the boys starting are new boys. And it was just... First 15 minutes, I was just shaky. 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes in, Liverpool scores. I'm like, damn. This is me in church. I saw the scoreline, 1-0. I was like, oh, all right, it has started, you know? And then the second goal comes, like, maybe 5 minutes later. Salah scores. I'm like, oh, God, it's over already. The season has not even started. The season's already over. And I was in serious panic mode. But seeing it was offside, I was like, okay. Okay, we can make something happen. And after that second goal, I don't know what kicked into those boys. Everybody started pressing together, you know, winning the ball back. Like it was pass. It wasn't pass, turn around, pass it back to the keeper. And then everybody goes missing in the midfield. Even though the midfield wasn't really there that much, I was really impressed by some individual players.
Like who?
Gallagher stepped up.
Hey, you know, No.
Listen,
it was not good that whole game, bro.
It was actually very good.
I didn't say the whole game. I'm saying everybody, the first 20, 30 minutes of the game was shaky. Gallagher had some mistakes here and there, like he normally does. We know that's for a fact. You do that in some games. But he stepped up, you know, tracking back, winning tackles. He looked like a six, even though he's not really a six. He played like an actual six. And, you know, he impressed me. Jackson, man, that boy is a gem, man. I'm just praying he can give us at least 15, 20 goals this season. That's my prayer. I'm not saying that will happen, but if that happens, man, that's a that's a steal in the market for us this season, honestly. For 30-something mil this year, he looked good. Enzo legit took over that midfield. I don't know. He made Zobo sly. McAllister and Gakpo. I don't know why Gakpo was playing the eight with him, or I don't know what Gakpo was playing there in the middle. It just didn't make any sense. I understand they didn't have a DM, but they could have played someone like maybe Kantara or maybe started with Jones. But Enzo took over that midfield. Who else stepped? Thiago is always Thiago. We know he'll go crazy. And Cowell, actually, after that first goal, Cowell legit just, he locked up Salah. I don't know
Cowell
if you guys
saw the
game. Cowell
is almost a Popo player, for the record.
Oh, my
he's
God.
A Vic player. I don't know. Not
he's
almost,
already a Vic player?
Yeah, he's already a Vic player.
Nah,
man.
He's actually, he looks really good.
From that, after that first goal, because I saw he looked shaky when Salah was about to assist Diaz. But after that first goal, he kept Salah quiet for most of the whole game until he got subbed out. He looked good. The Sassy, you know, he looked shaky at the beginning like everyone did, but he picked it up. You know, he was defending well, tracking back. Chilwell looked good. You know, the whole boys, everybody just looked good, man. They looked like they actually wanted to play and they wanted to fight for something this season. And hopefully that keeps going. You know, I'm happy we got players into the team right now that can also help. Well, I know we'll get into that down the line. But overall, Chelsea looked good. I'm just praying we can use this, you know, use that energy we picked up from the first game. Because playing Liverpool first game of the season is not a easy fit. I don't care how they look. That's a big team. You know, any top six side that you play is a big team. And that's going to be a tough game. Yeah. And it was a tough game. And Chelsea really held their own. I know people are shouting now. We're shouting over a 1-1 draw. As a Chelsea fan, I don't think most of us are not shouting over the 1-1 draw. Actually, we were supposed to win that game. Looking at that game, because we had chances that Alisson was going crazy on. Sanchez really didn't do much, you know, in that game outside of the first 30 minutes. So overall, Chelsea looked good. I'm just praying we can use this, you know, energy and go into the West Ham game this weekend and, you know, make something happen, come up with a 3-point and just kick our season off with a good win.
Okay. No, interesting. I think a lot of people definitely watching that game from a neutral perspective felt like overall Chelsea was the better team. Mandem, I want to ask you about the game from Liverpool's perspective. Vic kind of mentioned the midfield and the lack of a midfield and how they kind of struggled there. Talk a little bit about that and talk about the way it's looking. They're going to have to rely on some of their kids. Like Salah came out, Ben Doak, who I don't know if that guy's good, but he keeps playing. I mean, they have like Curtis Jones. We can still call him a kid. Like they have a bunch of kids that are... It looks like they're going to rely on. What do you think that means for their season?
Yeah, man. So look at it from this angle. There's a reason why Liverpool wanted to break the bank for Caicedo, right? Because they have identified a problem. Like, yeah, it's not holding. It's not glowing up in that midfield. Because midfield is like you need this one person that is like the core that everybody can attach to and then, you know, play. So when I saw the game with Chelsea, good on Chelsea because they did pretty well. I remember I was watching the game with yourself, Galapo, and I was like, Chelsea actually is trying to play a certain system of football as compared to the previous season. Like there was no system. Like 11 players get on the field, do your thing. That's how it looked. Just like United under Ole. Like just first get the first 11 right and let's go. So you can already tell that they are trying to gel up properly. And then, you know, I'm sure they'll do even way better down the season, which is not good. On Liverpool's side, though, I'm happy. Huh. I'm happy for Liverpool. Very happy for Liverpool. Right. I want them to stay the way they are right now. I want them to trust the players they are trusting. I want them to believe in Klopp and not sign any more midfielders. It will be a great season for Liverpool. We'll see them trade places with Chelsea if Kerr is not taken. Because I was watching the game and now look at the speculations that just came about with Salah, the whole Saudi thing. And we were watching the game and each time Salah is open over there on the right flanks, he gets the ball and it's like, oh, I have the ball. Can I take a touch? Can I relax? Can I breathe? There was no sense of urgency in Salah's game. So is that the dressing room is not hyped enough about the new season? Because those things come down to the pitch. If things are happening behind the scenes that, you know, there's no good bond between players, it transfers onto the pitch. I've experienced it. I'm sure other people, other fans for other clubs have experienced it. So if Liverpool does not want to be in a predicament where they are fighting for, you know, we want to stay at the first half of the league table, then they need a midfielder. They need a solid DM. Like,
they got
one sitting here. I am advocating for United to get more DMs or more midfielders. So, yeah, why not Liverpool? They actually need that. Because the game they played against Chelsea, Chelsea is just still trying to find their feet. If they play that game against a more formidable team that is like well-gelled and it's just press, that midfield will be as porous. Yeah? It will be as porous as the sieve I use for my Indomie.
Wow. Damn.
So they need to figure that part out. Yeah, man, it's bad, man. Like it will be leaking from all angles. So I think if to answer your question, if you're talking about Liverpool's midfield, they definitely need one or two signings in there. They can trust some of the young boys, but it's a gradual process. You have to integrate them because it will be too much of a load expecting the things you would expect from the top guys right away from the young kids. There's going to be pressure on them. And that can make or break a career, depending on the person's personality and how they approach the game. So good on Chelsea. They are still adding people. I don't know how they're managing this through the financial fair play, but good on them. Liverpool, I mean, hey, see you on the other side. That's all I can say.
No, thank you. And to that point, Vic actually mentioned this earlier. Liverpool did sign a midfielder. They signed Wataru Endo. So this is literally like a few hours ago. So he's coming to Liverpool.
Is Enzo and Caicedo in one? Don't worry. He's going both.
Endo.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Chelsea.
That is not news that I thank you for that news. I didn't hear that news because I was out there, you know, saving the world as usual. So I didn't get that news. But
he's 30 years old, apparently.
We'll see. I mean, I don't want to go with the age thing too much because I kind of went in that angle with Casemiro and it blew up in my face. I had to apologize quickly. Casemiro is a great signing. So you never know, man. He might be that guy that will bring all the experience, mentality, and everything on board. So
I agree. And I also think they need like experience. Like they already have children. We already talked about that. They don't need more children.
No, I'm saying I only brought up the age in the sense that Fabinho was what, 29, and they sold him, and this man is already 1 year older than Fabinho. He might be good, but it just for me didn't make
your
any
sense. Your
point
is, what was the point in selling Fabinho?
Yeah, what was the point of selling Fabinho if you're gonna buy someone as a year older than him?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Clearly, money has a lot to do with that. We have to assume.
Money, desperation.
All your money, man.
What I don't understand is why did Klopp wait this long? You know that, like, since last season or two seasons ago, that you don't have a midfield. Why do you have to wait this long to, like...
Yeah.
Bellingham already knew he was going to Madrid. I'm pretty sure everyone knew. Well,
I don't know if that's true.
But, like,
I don't think they was going to bring out the money for him.
They were just bid 115. He turned them down.
Yeah, he just bid 115 for, what's his name, Caicedo. So, clearly, the money's there.
They were going to spend the money. They were willing to spend anything for Bellingham. He just didn't want Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, let me help Klopp a little bit. I think that they've been trying. Like, maybe they haven't tried hard enough and they should close, but, like, we know they wanted Bellingham. He moved to Real Madrid. We know they wanted Lavia. He's going to Chelsea, for those that don't know.
Yeah, but the Lavia...
Yeah, but, like, you could have just paid the money.
Part of the reason why Lavia ended up going to Chelsea is because he felt like he was second choice. And I totally understand that, because how are you going to be pussyfooting around for... How long was that going on for? 4 to 5 weeks of, oh, we're going to underbid, and then we're going to increase our bid by 2 million. And then we're going to increase our bid by 2 million again. Oh, and then we're going to bid the British transfer record fee for somebody else.
So
I too would feel like I'm second choice.
So let me ask you, do you think Lavia going to Chelsea feels like his first choice there?
They had already agreed personal terms last summer.
Mm-hmm.
at the like the final day of the window. So he already had that relationship established with Chelsea.
Because of our director.
The answer is yes. He feels like a first choice going to Chelsea.
No, nah, yes. He's not.
I don't think
he cannot.
No, I don't think no. so.
That would be
what I mean, I don't think. What I mean by him
oh, okay.
feeling like a first choice is
first choice.
He knew that Chelsea wanted See, what, him anyway.
Okay.
He knew, like, I understand what you're saying that, oh, well, Chelsea still went out and got Caicedo.
Everyone else.
but he already knew that Chelsea wanted him anyway. And it wasn't a case of, oh, we're going to go for you in case we don't get Caicedo. It's we're going to get you both. Whereas with Liverpool, it was, oh, we're just going to underbid for God knows how long. And then we're going to go all out for Caicedo. And then come running back to you when we get embarrassed in front of the entire world.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I feel bad for Liverpool because you guys are acting like they haven't tried. But, you know, point received.
Nah, they haven't tried, bro.
Let's they haven't serious. Tried.
They haven't tried.
No, they haven't.
Even honestly. If Bellingham, like, you're supposed to draw. Sorry, guys. You're supposed to draw a list of players that you want. I feel like that's what every club does.
You don't
like,
think they had a list?
So why didn't you, when Bellingham signed for Madrid, move on to the next person? Why
I feel
did
like
you
they
have
did.
To? Why did you have to wait so long when you know that that's the part of the field that you have to address? Why did you have to wait so long?
And you didn't even going to sell Fabinho, so it's like
exactly.
I don't know why you guys are feeling having all this pity talk for Liverpool. I think they're in a good place.
No, it's not pity talk. It's just we're just addressing the fact, you know, and it just sucks.
I think they're
that...
in a good place. They shouldn't sign any more players.
Mm. It just sucks that Chelsea has to spell their name with the players. But it sucks, though. We'll keep on pushing. Keep on pushing, man.
Somebody's got to do it.
Someone got to do it, man. Loser FC.
It's so funny because all this talk that Vic is doing, okay, we'll get to it later. We'll get to it later.
No, the only... Listen, the talk is because people like Benko on the chat,
mm-hmm.
you know, when that Caicedo bid happened, Who I was talking
they started
to someone.
Celebrating. They
yeah, they started celebrating, and I was telling someone, I was like, man, I don't George. I think it was you. I was like, man, if he goes there, he goes there, man. It is
yeah,
what
I
it is.
You were stressed as hell.
No, hold on. I wasn't stressing like, oh my god, like I'm going mad or anything. I was like, man, if that happens, that's fine. It, like 110 yeah. million, they went to go overpriced the guy at 110. It's not like Chelsea didn't bid. If we didn't bid at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liverpool, when I dropped in 110, then I would have been upset. I would have gone crazy on the phone when I was talking to you, George. Mm-hmm. But we actually bid 100, which was the asking price. Liverpool just went and dropped 110. I'm like, how about what's going on in this market that you're dropping 110 for this
110
guy?
Million just to get embarrassed.
And then I go on Twitter. All I see is Liverpool fans going crazy on Chelsea fans. I'm like, nah, this cannot happen. And legit, before that night ended, I was like, God, please just make something happen. Let me wake up in the morning and I see some good news. Or Chelsea have signed somebody else or something. And I wake up and Omar tags me. I was like, yo, this guy doesn't want to go to Liverpool. I was like, oh my God. See how, dude, I woke up at, what, 5, 6 in the morning. I was dancing in my bathroom.
Nice.
I was.
Because like, yo, there's no way we're going to like match this bid.
Now, I was saying, I was like, there's no way we're going to match this bid because it's going to be, we'll have to go over that.
Yeah.
I'm like, if Chelsea does that is ridiculous. But hey, the guy, after he rejected Liverpool and there was no other option.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly he wanted to come to Chelsea. Like, clearly, whatever Chelsea's doing, they're doing, as far as getting players anyway, they're doing it right because they're getting the guys
they
want.
We're doing it right, man. We're getting the guys that we want and we're getting them in the positions that we want. We spent the January window to get defensive players and wingers. And this summer we said we're going to focus on our midfield, and that's what we've done, honestly. I don't know why people are going crazy on us. Like, you know, and the money we've only spent less than even the Arsenal fans this summer window. Forget all the 800 you're seeing. Yes,
net.
We have.
Net. Okay.
Net, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We sold. I don't want to talk about some of the guys that are just out here failing medical tests. They need to like terminate that guy's contract at this point because it's making us look terrible. But we're selling players, so we're getting in. We're making money. Like it's not like we're not selling players, and you know we're out there going crazy buying players.
Okay.
You know, it's one or the other, one for one too. So but we're looking good. Hopefully, you know this guy's gonna integrate and help the team. You know, do something good this season.
Okay. No. Fair enough. I think that's a good little place to stop there on Chelsea and Liverpool. We'll see how the season goes, right? For you guys listening for predictions, we're saving our predictions as much as we can for after the transfers are done. because this season, no revisions. Whatever you predict, you predict. You can't change it. You die on the line, right? So the only other game I think that we can talk about for a second, I'm sure you guys, actually, what I'm going to do, we're not even going to go to a specific game. We're going to do a quick round table. I just want your biggest takeaway from this weekend, this past weekend. Anything that caught your eye, surprised you, you were impressed by, whatever. Say what you want. Rookie, I'll start with you. So from this weekend, excluding Chelsea versus Liverpool, because we talked about that, caught your eye this weekend?
What caught my eye this weekend? I think the biggest thing that caught my eye this weekend was KDB's injury. Mm. I'm interested to see how City's going to address that. Mm-hmm. And the only reason it caught my eye is because, you know, Gundogan is gone. And for me, I've always felt like he was such an underrated, player when it comes to City and their title wins. So, yeah, I'm a little bit interested to see what's going to happen there.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's very, very important to know what happens there. I think I saw reports of like 4 months of him being out 4 months.
He's not due back till January.
Yeah. So, I mean, last time he was out this long, I believe they set the record, but we'll see. What happens.
But again, Gundo's gone.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they are. Actually, no. Are they linked to any midfielders?
Yeah.
Who are they linked to? They're linked to someone. Who?
Paqueta.
Paqueta.
From West Ham.
George doesn't want that guy.
He's not worth the money. And I don't know. I don't see what he does. To be honest. I don't think he's worth the money.
None of them are worth the money.
That City's even looking at him, to be honest. But
I mean, to be fair, I haven't seen much from him, but he had a really good reputation before he came to West Ham. And I mean, you see the team is in. I feel like sometimes you go to a team where you can't really prosper because, I mean, if you're a creative midfielder, like West Ham is not really the place to go.
Yeah,
to be honest. I agree.
I mean, to be fair to him too, during the World Cup, he was actually like a starter.
He was good. Yeah, he was really good too.
I don't know if it was good, but he started.
Nah, he was good. I don't think he was great, but he was good.
Okay.
He was good enough to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, if there's any coach that can bring out the best in him, it's Pep. So.
Yeah, facts. George, what was your biggest takeaway from this weekend?
I was going to bring up the KDB situation, but Brookie brought it up. I was just going to say that, you know, here we go, another season, KDB, not relevant, half of the season, back. He'll probably score in like, you know, 5 games, all of a sudden, best midfielder in the world, carried Man City on his back, PFA player of the year. That's probably what's going to happen, but I'm going to keep reminding you guys that he's out. You know, every single time that Man City wins a game, I just remind you. They won a title. KDB was not playing. Okay. Anyway.
Did you see how they played, though? Listen, I'm not going to take anything, but they won. But did you see how City played today?
It doesn't matter. It's Sevilla. Like, what?
He makes a big difference, man. No, the way City played today, you can actually see that they missed KDB.
No,
let's be honest.
Please, no.
All right. I don't agree with that, but okay. Let's move on.
They can't play. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying they can't play. I'm saying that if you watch them today, you clearly see that they actually needed that guy because there was no one creating.
Playing against Sevilla is.
Bro, I don't understand so why tricky. Vic thinks you yeah. just Sevilla get up is, and walk over.
Funny. Sevilla, the way they play, Sevilla is one of
your
those.
Your system
games.
is just It's a different ball game playing with Sevilla. You don't matter the system you are bringing on board. It's
the
just
United
like,
fans,
yo,
like, give your respect to Sevilla.
I mean,
it's true.
He wasn't just a United fan, right? George was the first to mention it. He was like, right. I mean, it's Sevilla. We know the way they play. We know their tactics.
That's good. But anyways, Dolapo, to answer your question, I'm just thinking, man. I think I'll give it to Salah. Mm-hmm. That was like the biggest takeaway because he got subbed out when the game was 1-1.
Yeah.
So then that's like, what is going on over there? Is this stuff going on?
Real quick. Sorry, Zalapo. I know you want to move on. Y'all think he's leaving or y'all think he's going to stay?
Nah, he's not leaving.
I'll be surprised if he left, but I wouldn't be surprised because didn't he want to be captain last year and he's not captain now? So I could see like a little risk in there.
I thought that was really funny as well. Like, why was he not made captain?
What was the club? What was the Saudi club again? Al what? I think I was reading something on Twitter. I don't know if it's the owner or the manager or the president what was saying that he doesn't even want Salah this year. He wants to get in 2024. So he's gonna tell Salah that he's not coming for him this year, he's gonna come for him next year. Type stuff.
Go up around table, let's go.
Man, them said just tired of talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I'll just go with Salah, man. I think Salah is who I'm gonna go for.
Okay,
him getting subbed.
Yeah, no, that's interesting to watch. You know, free FPL advice: don't buy Salah. But you guys, you know, you can listen to me. I'm sixth on the table. I don't know about the rest of these guys. Man, them. What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway is that Luton FC. It's actually cool to watch. Yeah, they are actually cool to watch. And I feel like given the right, like if the coach is able to adapt and know that, hey, this is the EPL, like we have to do one or two things differently, I think they've got goals in their games because they lost 4-1. Fine. But there were things that could have turned into goal scoring opportunities. Like it just needed some tweaking and some, like, brilliance from one or two people. So they play with a lot of aggression. They play with a lot of conviction. They want to move forward. So I think it was nice watching them, even though they lost the game. I feel like, oh, this is a team that just got promoted, but they kind of have a good style that they want to play. Like all, like you were saying, all their players are kind of athletic. Like, everybody's running 90 minutes. So if you meet such guys and you want to play flair too much, they might worry you. They might cause problems for you. So I think my biggest take this weekend was Luton and the way they played. I feel like they will be an interesting team to watch this season.
Okay. Do you think they're going to stay up?
It's too early yet. That's why we are waiting for the transfer window to end. So don't put me on the spot.
All right. Trick question. Fair enough.
I got you.
Fair enough. Vic.
No, but they reminded me of Leeds. They remind me of Leeds when they first came into the, when they first came back into the Prem. You know, the whole pressing. They didn't play bad, honestly, but I think Brighton was just...
No, Leeds was not defending at all.
Yo, they chopped four goals,
though. This game, Leeds when was first, not defending.
When they first came back to the league, I think so.
Yo, losing five Leeds? Goals, they were still not defending. What were you people watching?
Yeah, under
under Bielsa?
Yeah.
I mean,
they were not defending whatsoever.
I'm saying their first game. I'm not talking about like
Leeds
the season.
Was, like,
I'm saying
allergic to defending.
Yeah, it's
I'm saying first game is the same way they pressing high, running the whole field 90 minutes. No.
Oh, you say no energy.
All energy. That's the way Leeds was playing the first that first game when they came back into the Prem. So I'm saying
it was against Liverpool too. They won like they lost 4-3.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, it's not like they were going crazy that game. So
think about it. He said the takeaway for the weekend, right? And we have judge them on. So that's the best I could do for them. We'll see along the line.
They didn't play bad.
By the time we are ready to give our predictions, we'll know if they're going to be staying or they're going to be packing. So we'll see.
So Vic, what was your biggest takeaway? I didn't really catch
mine. Mine was Spurs, man. I don't know if anybody watched the Spurs game, but Spurs are playing actual football, not sit back. Yeah, they were playing, they were pressing, they were passing. You're seeing your boy Real, you know, going crazy out there in the field. You had the two fullbacks, you know, in the middle. They were even playing at some points.
They're playing inverted. Center backs, I was surprised by that.
Yeah, the center backs were on the touch in the middle of the field or even past the middle of the field. So it's like, it was like the whole team were playing on the other half of the field. So they look good. I know they conceded two goals. I feel like they're going to concede a lot of goals this season. You know, but they might still score a lot of goals, but they need to sell Richarlison. That guy needs to go. He's not a striker.
But if they tell them they have no striker, they literally can't tell him.
They
right
need
now.
To. They're looking at
they
this
have
Nigerian
a striker
boy.
Who gift. Doesn't score right now, so.
They're looking at like, this young boy, Gift Oban.
Bro, I think Richarlison is going to come good, man. I don't know.
I don't think so, man. Two years in a row, he only scored one goal. Like, are you kidding
come
me?
Come good, like.
I think George is trying to mislead people in their FPLs.
No, that is, though. I really think. You watch. He's probably gonna bunk. So he's gonna start scoring soon.
I mean, to be fair, last season was his worst season in the EPL. One goal, right? You know, on the other hand, some people have called him out for not being really that good even before that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't think, mind you, I don't think he's good, but I think he's gonna bang.
He can score goals. That's true. You can score goals without being good. People don't know this, but you can. You can score goals without
being good. That's right.
He missed some open chances that was just. He reminded me of Havertz in that game, bro. It's like, man, I'm seeing Havertz PTSD. Over again.
Oh, are you doing Jesus this Christ. To Arsenal fans, man?
They're no, Havertz is there. I don't give a crap rat's ass about those people. They can do what the hell they want to do with him. But it's just just watching that game and seeing how they were creating chances for him. And he was just either giving it to the keeper. He was just with. I don't. It just looked bad. But overall, Spurs looked good, you know, the way they were playing good counter football, you know, pressing well, moving together, passing the ball. And so they look good. You know, they actually missed Harry Kane, if only if he didn't go, honestly.
Yeah, but, no, I saw parts of that game, and they definitely, they looked like they had some ideas, and they were trying to attack, which is a step up from what we've seen from them recently. Let's do another quick round robin of questions. Rookie, I'm going to start with you. You actually mentioned this earlier, funny enough, and the production team had this question sets for you, which is crazy. But the KDB injury, let's talk just a little bit more about that. Ultimately, do you think it's a big deal for City this season? Like, do you think this can affect whether they win the league or not?
Yes.
Yes, big deal.
Thank you.
I think it's a big deal because they've lost Mahrez, they've lost Gundo, and that's why I think it's a big deal. I wouldn't think it's a big deal if if Gundo was there, and if, you know, Arsenal didn't strengthen in the way that they have. But with those two things, yes, I do think it is a big deal for City. I think, I'd be a little bit concerned if I was Pep.
Okay.
Can I chime in?
Please.
No, wait, how many points did Arsenal finish the season with last season?
I have no idea. 90?
81?
I don't think they got past 90.
No, they did. It was like 81.
81 or 87.
Yeah, they didn't get past 90.
They did not get 290.
Okay, so my point is, they didn't get past 90, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal has strengthened. The best
they finished at 84.
84. That's like, yeah. Liverpool, right? If you guys remember, there was a season where they went, you know, head-to-head with Man City, and it was like, what, 98, 97? And then the season before that was like 93, 92, something like that, right? Those two seasons, KDB was not present. Do you understand? KDB was not present.
Right, he injured half of those. Mahrez and Gundogan were.
Yeah, I mean, Gundogan was there. Gundogan, carried.
Yeah, because Gundogan gave you guys like 10 goals back to back.
I understand that part.
10, 15 goals.
Yeah, but here's the fact, Haaland was not there as well. Do you understand?
Kovacic is not going to give you that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I see what you're saying. Like, okay, Haaland wasn't there, but I feel like you're minimizing what Gundo.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm saying, yes, Gundogan is not there. Yes, he had, like, you know, a streak where he was scoring goals and they had no striker. So
he offered more than just goals, is my point. Like, Haaland offers goals, yes, but Gundogan offered more than just goals.
I think it was mostly goals, no? Delapo?
No.
I mean, but like, he was key when he scored a lot of goals.
Well, even when he didn't score a lot of goals, don't let the goals score a lot of goals. Heart,
no, it's not. But like, listen, I'm not minimizing what Gundogan did. But what I'm trying to say is, KDB's out. Nothing will affect this Man City team. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Yes, Gundogan is not there to be like, you know, scoring, going on that his streak. But they have Haaland. Do you understand? They have Haaland.
But
what's his name?
Who's going to play in the midfield? Created. It wasn't just like just scoring goals.
Guy, Foden stepped up.
Disrespect, but Foden is not Gundo.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, guys, trust me on this. Yes, Gundogan is not there, but KDB being injured.
Stop banging on the door.
KDB being injured, nothing is going to change, man. I'm telling you guys right now, nothing will change.
Like, okay.
it might be like maybe City's not gonna get over 90 points, but they're still winning the league. That's for sure. I can guarantee you that.
Okay, we've heard your points. We know exactly how you feel. So we'll see how it plays out. Because he's definitely out, and he's definitely out for a long time. Yes. So there's not going to be any question about whether or not it affects them.
They've already won the league like 3 times without him. It'll be fine.
I only have 1 as my count, but
3 times
it's okay.
Without him, bro. Joe, okay. You're bugging.
Yeah, I think it was 1.
It's been twice. It's been twice.
I only remember 1.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to consider last season?
How many games did he miss last season?
He didn't. That's the thing. He didn't miss. He got subbed out in key games. He was trash.
He got subbed out in key games.
Yes.
Yeah, George. Let's not go down this path to George. This is what George wants to do.
No.
How many assists did this man have last year? Didn't he break the assist record last season?
So here's the thing. This was going to happen. I'm going to keep reminding you guys. Because it seems like if I don't keep reminding you, you guys will forget. And you guys will forget that,
George,
he got injured. Like this, this season. No one is going to remember that. He's going to come and score 5 goals and everyone will start being like, KDB's back, this and this and that. I'm going to keep reminding you guys so that you guys remember that. Oh, yeah, the guy was actually injured. Like, half of
George, you mentioned Haaland. Do you think Haaland will score the amount of goals this season? At least for this next 4 months that he scored last season?
Like, guys, why are you, I don't get it. Are you guys doubting Pep? Is that what's going on? Or like,
oh my goodness. What is doubting Pep? Pep comes up with a tactic. Somebody has to implement those tactics. Pep is not on the field. He's not the one kicking the ball. Let's not forget this.
George, it's almost like the conversation we had the other day.
You have to go on the field and make.
But it's like, what did I say? I said, you can have your tactics, but you need talent.
Implement those tactics. Nobody's doubting Pep. Listen, we all know he's a genius. He's gonna give his boys what he needs to give them. They have to go out there and implement it. If they don't implement what he gives them, listen, I don't think they'll go far. Telling you if they do not.
Okay, let me ask
KDB was instrumental last season.
Let me ask you, how many assists do you think KDB gave Haaland last season? You can feel free. Take as long as you want. You can just research that and then you find out. And then you take that into account, the number of goals that he scored last season as well. I was actually keeping track of this. I kind of lost track.
So what's the number? Oh, so you lost track.
I lost track. But like,
how come?
I did stop. But feel free,
because
guys,
it was a lot, right?
No, it's not a lot. That's the thing. It's not. You would think it's a lot. The guy had already scored like 17 goals and KDB assisted him like 4 times.
So I do want us to move on from this question because we're not going to get trapped by George.
I'll have to get back to
take as long as you want this whole podcast.
But for the people wondering, when George said that KDB was subbed off like in all the important games, I have no way to verify. I mean, I can, but it's going to take too long. But he made 32 appearances last season. 28 of them were starts. Wow, I can't speak English. So 28 out of 32 he started. And 12 times out of those 28 games, he was subbed off. So he only played like the full 90, 16 games. I don't know what that means, but I figured I should share the stats with the people.
I'm just telling you, there was a game. There was a game where Man City was losing to Crystal Palace. They took out KDB.
I do remember
Pep was like, get out of my team. And he brought, you know who he brought in, Vic? John Stones. He brought in John Stones for KDB, bro.
So let's go to the next one. Vic, the next question is for you. I want to know your opinion on a former Chelsea player, Kai Havertz. He was implemented the way that we were told he was going to be implemented, right? He was used as a central midfielder. How do you think that's going to work out?
He was implemented where?
In midfield. Central midfield.
This, at least the game against Nottingham Forest?
Yeah.
What was... Okay, because Partey was playing on the right side, right? And
Partey played in defense, yeah.
Yeah, defense.
So the midfield was Declan Rice.
I woke up... Havertz, I didn't watch that Hazard. I won't lie to you guys. I woke up late. I watched the ending of the game. I didn't really see... I saw highlights. So I didn't really know what Havertz did in that game.
But in general, what do you think about that setup? Do you think that's something... I mean, you've had him at Chelsea, so you've seen his game more than most.
I've seen this game as a 9. Havertz barely played the 10 position or even the 8, for Chelsea. So I don't know how that's going to work. Listen, I was so happy as a Chelsea fan. You don't understand. I was ecstatic that he was getting so bad. I didn't want him to go to Arsenal. I'll not even lie to you guys. But so far, I've not seen what Arteta is claiming that he's gonna. He even came out and said he doesn't know where he's gonna. He doesn't know where Havertz is going to play. So I think right now he's just doing his experiments that he's doing. The game in. I don't know if it was. I don't know what game they played. That he was playing the 9, and then the game over the weekend he was playing the 8 or the 10.
Community Shield, just, I think. Community Shield. So nine, right?
Community Shield, he played as.
Yeah, that's the game against City, right? He was playing as a 9. Mm-hmm. No, as a 9, he didn't look bad. You know, because he played that for a long time at Chelsea.
Yeah.
I didn't see how he played on Saturday. So I can't really say, you know, mm-hmm. but man, right now Arteta is legit just experimenting with the kid. You know, because we have us, you don't know what his actual position is. I think his coach at Leverkusen actually knew what his position was and he was doing great there. Mm-hmm. I think some games you see him on the right wings. Some games you see him drop to the 10. Some games you probably are up front playing the 9 or false 9. So it's like he can play any position, but can he play those positions effectively? We do not know. Yeah. At Chelsea, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't scoring goals. He can play those positions, but I don't think he can play them effectively for him to give you at least 6 to 8 goals, you know, for Arsenal. Because Arsenal looks like
On, man. Kai Havertz can give you 6 to 8 goals. Why are you doing this? I don't know what he scored last season, but 2 seasons ago, like, he scored more than 6 to 8 goals.
He only scored 7. He scored 7 goals last season.
But the season before that, he scored more. Didn't he?
No, he's 7 the previous season, too. 7 goals back to back. Our previous season, Jorginho was our highest goal scorer from penalties. So
I do remember that.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know if he'll give. I don't even know if he'll give you 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Even 8.
Yeah, 7 goals last season.
You know, 8 goals the season before. 29 appearances, Like, you know, he could have scored 10 or 12.
Then 4 goals the season before then.
So I don't know where those goals are going to come from. Because he doesn't have a set. Havertz does not have. He's one player that is. He can even play in defensive. And he doesn't have a set position like you know, Odegaard, you know where Odegaard is on the field. He's a 10. He's the one creating. You know where Saka is on the right wing. You know where Martinelli is. You know where all these guys are. But him, you can play him on the right wing. He's not going to be really. He can play there, but he's never effective. He can play the 10. He can play there, but he's not effective. The 9, he can play there, but he's not effective. So right now, Arteta is just using the guy as experiments. Wherever... We'll just be trying different positions. Whatever we feel like you're comfortable with and you feel like you can perform there, I think that's what he'll be playing. But for now, next game, don't be shocked if next game Nketiah will not play. I think they're playing. Who are they playing? They're playing the big team. I think it's
Crystal
Palace. Palace.
Palace. No, week 3 is Liverpool. Or week 4 is Liverpool. But yeah, Palace, they look good in their game. But man, Havertz, I don't know, man. I pray for Arsenal. That's all I'll say for them. I'll pray for you guys because... In 10 weeks, 15 weeks into the season, his true colors will come out and then you see it blossom. Then we can all have that conversation as to why we sold Havertz.
Okay. So
we'll keep it pushing, man. You know, but I cannot guarantee. I can't sit down here and tell you that he will give you 8 goals this season. I can't sit down. I'm serious. So just keep praying, Arsenal fans. You know, pray that some God, you know, just falls down from heaven and touches his 2 legs, whatever leg he uses is dominant, which is his left. So we'll pray for them, man. I don't really care what Arsenal does with him at this point. He's not a Chelsea boy, so they can fuck off.
Okay, okay.
Wow. Fuck
what Vic says. Okay. Rookie. Next one is for you.
That you're laughing at my wow.
we're not making predictions, right? But I feel like we have to talk about some teams. I was having a conversation with... someone this weekend, and he was very adamant that Newcastle will make top 4, and he was getting other people to support this claim. So I was like, let me ask Rookie. Rookie would know for sure.
Let me guess who this is.
Is Newcastle making top 4 this season? If you had to guess right now.
If I had to guess right now, to be honest, I actually did not watch their game this weekend, but I know that they had an emphatic victory. And now I'm hearing that they're getting Lewis Hall from Chelsea as well.
Almost a Popo player as well.
Please, please, please. I'm praying to God.
You're praying that they get him or they don't get him?
I don't want him gone. That is one player.
He's definitely gone. Because you guys have too many left backs.
This Cucurella, we can sell that.
Yeah,
guy,
honestly,
man,
they should have gotten rid of Cucurella. Oh my god, I don't know what Cucurella's doing.
Definitely the odd man out. Like, they were supposed to loan him out.
Yeah, because Chelsea, he's gonna be positive cash flow when we sell him. He's an academy kid. So when we sell him, we're getting the money. It's not like Cucurella. We're going to lose money when we sell him.
Yeah,
Gallagher, we sell him, we'll get positive cash flow. Chalabar, those guys, those academy boys, we can sell and get positive cash flow. I think that's why Chelsea is looking into that market. But as a Chelsea fan, that is one player we should not let go. Loan him out if that is the only case. And next season, find a way to, if Cucurella doesn't step up this year, take your L.
Honestly, take your L. Let me ask you real quick, random question. Because you're making us talk about Chelsea. If you had to pick between Lewis Hall and Matson, who'd you keep? Who'd you keep out of those two?
Yes.
Come on.
Just choose one.
Matson didn't play that much. Matson didn't play that much in left back or the CM position this preseason. He has played mostly on the right wing or the left wing, so it's difficult for me to say. You know, I've not seen him sit down in the left back position and play the left back position.
Yeah.
So that's why for me, I'll take Lewis Hall, because we already have enough wingers. And I'll take Lewis Hall because I've seen what that boy does. Last season, I saw, even with a bad Chelsea, that boy was still performing. It was one assist he gave Modric last season, and Modric just whiffed it. You know, that kid is a talent. He can play the left back position. He can play the CM. He can also like play the left wing or left wing back. And so he's one player that, you know, if he's on the field, he can produce. He's not like a slouch or Cucurella. Cucurella is not to position himself in the field and you know, be in the right position to track balls or win balls back and stuff like that. So,
okay.
But he's one player I don't want us to sell. Him, not sell. Not for sale.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're going to get your wish, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Listen,
I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I'll see Cucurella is gone and, you know, my God will answer my prayers. The God I serve is living.
You want Cucu to leave?
Chelsea fans want Cucu out already?
I don't want him. It's not like I want him out already. It's like right now, if we're trying to sell players, you know, I don't mind taking that ill. I don't want us losing players like Lewis Hall, man. These are academic boys that we've seen progressing. It's not like we've not seen any progress. If the kid wasn't doing good, you know, two seasons in a row under Lampard, and even under Tuchel, he played well. It's not like he's not played well; he's played well. So it's like we can see the future on how talented the kid is. We don't want to lose this kid, and then tomorrow you end up like a KDB that we lost, or a Salah that we lost. Boys like that,
just,
you know,
throw in a buyback clause.
Man.
Okay. Fair enough. Vic doesn't want to lose Lewis Hall. Rookie, Newcastle, top four. You're not going to escape.
Honestly, I think it's too soon to be making that call with Newcastle. They had a good game.
You don't think they're going to make top four. I just want to be clear.
That's not what I'm saying.
This is not your official prediction, Rookie. Don't be afraid now.
It's not your official. Just give your thoughts.
Stay with your chest. Like, it's okay. You've been wrong before. It won't be the first time.
Yeah.
Not as wrong as you. Anyway,
I don't know what that means. Like I'm always right.
It means exactly what I said. I didn't stutter. But I'm going to go with no.
Thank you so much.
For right now.
Taking the long path to that no.
Guys, for a quick second, let's just look at Mondays. Just look at your phone and look at the chat just for a second. Just for a quick second. We don't have to discuss
while
it.
While Mandem is looking at the chat, George, I'm going to go
everybody,
to
everyone of
you,
us, just
you
look
guys,
at the chat
Vic
for like
doesn't
one
want
second.
Us to record podcasts. He wants us to like look at something else. People listen and be like, oh, this is so fun. George, I want to ask you. Spurs obviously sold Harry Kane. I feel like last episode we were talking about it as like maybe. I wasn't sure yet. He's gone. Has already played for Bayern. Has already caught an L with Bayern. Spurs without Kane, do you think they're ultimately going to be better or worse this season than what they did last season? Where did they finish last season? They finished?
Eighth, right?
I believe they finished eighth. Let me see. I have it. See? It's good to write things down. Yeah, they finished eighth.
They finished eighth. So they're not playing in European football. They're only like on the weekends and maybe Carabao and FA Cups. Ooh. I mean, to be honest, I like the way they're playing, man. I'm not even gonna lie. I was watching that whole game.
It's been one game though.
I know, but like,
Even in preseason too.
And I remember, funny enough, I went back. So this, I wanted to do something. Sorry to cut you off. I wanted to do something, and if I have the time, and the production team has the time, we're gonna do a segment where we have a flashback to a previous episode. So I actually went, and the production team went and did some research, and they sent me some clips, but I forgot to, you know, get it ready for us. And last season, after game week one, everyone was like, "Yo, Spurs, Spurs, that midfield, they can run for days," and they finish where they finish. So don't get carried away. I just want to warn you.
I'm not getting carried away, but what I'm saying is, I like the way they're playing now. They don't look, they look like they're about to attack you, man. Like, once the game starts, every player is running up, which is good, right? Mm. So you know it's gonna, you're going to score a lot of goals. Is someone going to step up and score the number of goals that Kane scored? Probably not. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think they're going to be scoring a lot of goals because now it's an attacking team. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So, will they score more goals than they scored maybe last season? Probably. But will someone score more goals than Kane scored last season? I don't think so.
Will they finish in a better position?
I think they will. I think they will finish, worst case scenario, probably like... Actually, best case scenario, they'll probably finish like sixth or fifth. Right. Worst case scenario, they might end up...
Sixth or fifth?
Bro, they look good. I'm like, Bissouma looks real
good. No, they look
good.
I know.
Bissouma was looking very good, man. I'm like, wait, what happened to this guy, man?
He was good. Remember, he was supposed to be good.
Yeah, so but he was looking very good, man. Bissouma, yeah. MSN Royale is going screamers. Could you believe that?
Guys, you shouldn't be surprised. I've been telling you guys, Royale is not bad. Aww. I feel like I did this with Joe Linton until last season. You guys all saw it. Royale was not bad last season.
That's a backup boy, right? Bissouma
needs to pick up a Son. Son, I don't know. He's still like...
Son looked, yeah, he looked clueless.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't look it this past week. He looked isolated. I think he really misses Kane, man. You can see it in the game.
Nah, man. I think there's something else going on. Maybe he's about to get drafted again. Maybe that's what's going on.
I don't think this happens multiple times. I think it's a one-time fit.
Something is going on with him, man. Something is going on with him.
I want to ask you, let's go to someone that's not afraid to be drafted, right? Mandem, Chelsea transfer. Guys, I've been working on my transition. Chelsea's transfers so far. So they signed a lot of guys. They're getting the guys they want. But some people out there, not me, but some people out there are a little bit worried that they're signing too many young players. Like if you look at that midfield, for example, Chukwu Emeka is a guy that looks good, but the guys they just signed might mean that Chukwu Emeka might not play again. So do you think that the Chelsea transfers overall, would you say they've been smart or questionable?
All right. Let me roll it back to last season. How many players did they sign in total?
20.
Good. And how many players have they been able to offload this time around?
15.
Under 10? 15?
I'm just making up numbers, man.
Yeah. Under 10.
At least 13. No, not other than 10. We sold more than 10 players.
No.
Even people left on free. Let's start writing.
And then when you are ready with the possible answer that can be verified, come back to me.
Vic, it's not up to, it's more than 10, bro.
No, Vic, I'm not going to do this thing. You're not going to just say anything
right,
out of
they've let the whole team go. He might actually be right.
Hey, just come back to me with the verified answer and we can proceed. But
when I come back with the verified answer, are you going to apologize?
I'll just give you your props. Why would I apologize to you? I'm not scared of you. But then, look, I don't think... Well, so far, the guys they've signed, right? They've all been good signings. And I'm the type of person who always talks about squad depth, right? Mm. When we're talking about depth, like I said, it's not the numbers, it's the quality. So if they have... Like you're saying, if Chukwu Emeka is good...
15 players...
That's how many they've let go?
Yes.
Exactly okay, what job. I said.
Good job, Dulaco.
Well, Felix and Zachariah were loans.
Loan players.
So without them, 13.
Don't change the number. Leave it at 15.
Three on three.
Good job, Dulaco. Not you, Vic. But
stop.
Anyways.
Are you serious?
Good job as well.
Are you serious?
But let's come back to the matter.
First of all, the good job should go to the person who did the research.
Rookie, anyway. We appreciate you,
don't get a good
you
job
for always
from
coming
Google,
in clutch.
Like...
We appreciate you for always coming in clutch. All right, so...
Thank you.
Chelsea had this thing where they had all these players come on board and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. It was shambolic. It never worked out. Now, I guess they still feel like, okay, we've let so many people go, so we need people to come back in, which is fine. They need that depth in their squad, which is good. So now, I don't think it's a problem that if someone else comes in, it's going to limit time for Chukwuemeka. I don't think that's a problem. That's actually a healthy thing, because then everybody will be trying to impress and put it all out there on the field. So I do not see that as a problem. What we can look at is, okay, you're bringing young midfielders. Are you going to be able to, you know, get them to where they need to be to take on these challenges and bring you back into, like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday night football? We got to look at that. But as far as the signings, I think they've done good signings. I don't think they've done any crazy signings that you'd be like, oh, no. Caicedo, I mean, it was just a matter of someone was willing to pay big and we got to pay bigger. That's just it. But other than that, the additions are fine. It is good to have competition in a team. It is very good to have competition in a team, because I don't even want to make reference to some teams. I wouldn't do it. Maybe we'll talk about those teams and then I'll talk about
reference so that we can get context. It's good to get context of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because like when you look at a team like United, right? What is the squad depth when it comes to your striking position? When it comes to your midfield position? Like, we signed one striker. We have
Martial's still there.
Relax. Let me finish my context. We have one striker, Le Coq Sportif Martial. That will give you 5 solid games, and that's about it. You know? And then you're trying to put my boy Rashford as ST all the time, when we all know that that's not where he actually performs the best. You get what I mean? So at the end of the day, man,
bro,
that squad depth is needed. You need that competition. Look, Ten Hag did not do anything magical for Wan-Bissaka. We knew he was good. We, the loyal guys, knew Spider-Man was good. But then his game needed to go up. It needed, like, there needed to be some improvements from some places. And guess what put that thing into perspective for him? Dalot is just going to be playing as long as you cannot elevate your game. And one time Dalot had that injury after World Cup, sat down a little bit, the guy's like, yeah, it is time. So that should be the relationship between, like, Chukwuemeka and the next guy that is coming in, De Sassi and the next person that will play the same position, Modric, Enzo, all those guys. They should be able to feel that, yo, if I mess it up one time, I'm going to be on the bench. But that also has to do with the coach too. If the manager just keeps playing a player just because, oh, that's the preference, then the competition doesn't become healthy. Because you can see that the person is clearly not doing anything, but he's still on the field. So it's two-sided swords. Like, when you have depth, it's good. But when the manager just straight out picks up favorite all the time, then it becomes a problem. So I don't think the signings are anything bad for Chelsea. I think they're actually in the right direction. It will work out, hopefully.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you for the honest opinion. Appreciate you. Thank you.
You know,
bro.
The ghost don't lie.
I feel like this episode, we should just name it like the Chelsea episode.
The Chelsea episode. Like, I know. Just keep
talking about Chelsea.
Yeah, Vic is happy, man.
Now, what is wrong with it? If it's truth, man. If it's truth that is being spewed out here, what is wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it.
Go before talking about Chelsea.
Yo, all right. So I want us to do, even though I promise we're not predicting our top 6, top 10, whatever. I think we could make some predictions, right? Regardless. So let's stick to managers. I want us to do the first manager fired. Rookie, I know this is your favorite thing to predict.
Damn, I don't even know.
So I'm
going to
start with you. Which manager do you think is going to be the first to be fired this season?
Rob Edwards.
Damn, that was mad quick.
Who's that?
Who's that?
What coach? What team?
Luton.
Oh, come on.
I was about to say Luton too.
Ricky was listening to him like, what is this nonsense? That's funny. All right. Rob Edwards, I know nothing about him. They look okay, but they don't have talent, to be honest.
They don't have it.
Yeah, they don't. George, first manager to be fired.
Oh, man, delightful. I want to say
Sheffield.
You're just mentioning bottom teams.
Oh, man. I want to say Klopp. Klopp is going to be fired. Come on.
You do this every year, bro. You did this last year.
I know. This is the first time I'm doing this, man. I think he's going to go at
some... that's his prediction. So, I mean...
Because, like, bro, look at the way Salah left the field. Angry. And then you brought in an academy player. You didn't win your first game. Your next game, if you don't win against Bournemouth, all of a sudden, you know, Ed, what's his name? John Henry, right? That's the owner of Liverpool. He's looking at you like, yo, what are you doing? Do you understand? I don't know, man. I think his time is up. He needs to either leave, resign, or he's going to get fired. One or the other. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Klopp for George. Interesting. I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. Mandem, first manager fired.
What is the name of this Tottenham Spurs coach?
Oh, nah.
Postecoglou.
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 Yes.
Damn!
Wow.
I feel like it's not his work that is going to get him sacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be some stuff from the players and how
the drinking of
they're going to be playing.
Hmm.
That's first, though, you think he's going to be sacked first?
That's almost like not possible.
Yeah. Well, right? Like that.
I mean, someone mentioned Klopp, so let's keep it pushing.
Yo, I mean, I feel like. If they were doing odds in Vegas, Klopp has a higher percentage or chance.
Right, than him.
He just got hired.
Personally.
And he just lost Harry Kane. Like, it's not even his fault, whatever goes wrong for a little bit. Vic, who do you think is going to be the first manager fired?
I'm thinking either Burnley or Sheffield.
Burnley? Hey, did you see
that? Nah. No, that guy's not going to get sacked.
No, company is not going to get sacked.
We'll protest if they sack him.
We want him, man. Let the players enjoy. Let them eat.
Either him or Sheffield, honestly.
Who's Sheffield's manager? Who knows?
Trying to find out.
You're just targeting low teams. That's all you're doing.
No, but I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the table.
He says Sheffield.
I'm looking at the table. It's not going to be any of these teams.
His name is Paul.
Hacking
bottom.
What the hell?
He's gone. There's no choices.
Oh, hacking bottom.
Okay.
No choices, bro.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for this, but if I had to guess, why not David Moyes, man? Like, I don't know that they're gonna have a good season.
Dude, they're going to Europa. Are you kidding?
I'm telling you, like
he literally just won them a European trophy. He's not getting sacked first.
Oh god, yeah, guys. Okay, I wasn't prepared for this. I was just usually
you said
more prepared.
First. That's the thing.
Okay, I take it back. Who's let me see who's gonna get fired? Wolves manager, man. That guy they just hired. That's who's getting fired. Because they're in
chaos. I don't know why they hired him.
Yeah, they're in mad chaos, and I don't think he's a good manager.
But this is what they did to United.
He was.
This is what they did to United, guys.
I feel like that's way more about United than Wolves, to be honest.
He has a better team than Wolves than he did than Bournemouth, though. You know that, right?
I think it's a lot more about United than Wolves. We'll see what happens. But I don't rate him. And Wolves don't actually have United a good team, unfortunately for him.
Wait. The guy, I heard him speak after the United game.
Yeah.
And he said something interesting, which actually I looked back at the game, and we all know that usually when Casemiro is out of United's midfield, right, it's like there's nothing over there.
Yeah.
But even that game, there was nothing over there.
Mm-hmm.
He said he boxed them up because it was a three midfield. He boxed them up with four players.
Four. And then, you saw it.
And yes. He said he boxed them up with four players, and he pushes his two guys from the middle. So it's four that is boxing them, but in actual sense, it's eight that is overcrowding the space. That's what he talked about, which is kind of tactical. Because as a coach, you want to play against a team, read what their strength is, and then you just neutralize that, right? So if he could come up with something like that, I'm not saying he should receive perks for playing that way against United. Because United themselves were bad. Okay? But then, outside of that, maybe that tactic influenced how bad United was.
Hmm.
So if he's a coach that is able to sit down, think about this whole thing under 4 days and be like, okay, this is how I'm going to attack the United game, then he probably might have a chance. And okay. Wolves looking hungry.
They look hungry, man. Wolves always look hungry.
Right?
They need a goal scorer, but I don't think he's a clueless coach. I don't think he's clueless. I feel like maybe he might have some tactics here and there because it makes so much sense. Box those people out in four players, push the side, push the two defense attacking up mates. On them. Yeah, up on them like that. It's just like you're boxing them with eight players. So.
Wolves are going to concede like five goals next week. I'm going to remind you, man. Hey, right, I'll be looking for that box.
The way Brighton is about to ship. Like
that's what they play next.
That is fine.
Even Brighton looked shaky the first half of that game. Outside of the four goals that they scored,
You're refusing to understand that the whole thing I just said was based on the guy's character. I'm not saying Wolves as a team is going to be so good or they're going to surprise us or anything.
Yeah, but you said they looked hungry. Wolves have always looked good. Yes, they did.
If they looked hungry, wouldn't I say they looked hungry? They did look hungry.
What I'm saying is that's not any different point, to Rookie, how they usually Rookie, look.
Rookie, the that's main point. The main point is the tactics that was deployed, and that's what I'm talking about.
I understand that, but what I'm character. Saying it, I understand that, but to say like Wolves look hungry, like as if that's not how they typically play. I don't know. I just feel like there's nothing different to what they usually do.
No, there was a big difference. I feel like there was a tactical difference.
But there was a big difference, Rookie.
Let's be honest. I understand this is United, but we have to be honest.
First of all, I'm the number one person to call out United. United played terribly. This isn't.
I don't think you're number one, Rookie. To be honest, like you're not.
Okay, well, thank you.
You know I'm number one, right?
But you can.
No, Wass is number one.
Wass
is just a bitter kid. He's just bitter.
Why he talks? Considering how long he was team only in when everyone else saw what a train wreck that was.
What did he say? He said it was like a manager in training.
Ever since Ole got sacked, now he wants to be Mr. Pessimistic about United.
Like he wasn't out here riding Ole's freaking tails.
But anyway, I digress. My point is, first of all, Wolves has always been one of those teams for United, but that's not even taking away from how poorly they performed on Monday. My point is, Wolves, for all of the time that they've been in the Premier League, it's not that people don't like the way that they play or that they play badly, but this is always what happens. It's always, wow, Wolves played so well, but they lost. So I'm not understanding why all of a sudden we're talking about how, oh no, but they looked hungry. Wolves have always looked hungry. They've always played well. They just, for whatever reason, A, they can't score goals, and B, I don't know, it's just their luck. Like, even as far back as Nuno Espirito Santo. So that's why, yes, they played well under Nuno. Please stop.
They played well under him, but they actually performed. Like, they got results under him as well. I don't want to argue with you.
My point is that why are we acting as though they don't play well, period? That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Like, I'm the one that said the Wolves manager will be fired, so I agree with you.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. I'm trying to let you know that I don't think the Bournemouth manager Seth actually gets fired before him, honestly, because he has better players in Wolves than he did in Bournemouth. That is true.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, right? Real quick, I wanted to make some predictions because there are games happening this weekend coming up. Big games. Let's start with the United game, since you United fans are, you know, we didn't get to talk about United enough, I'm sure.
We didn't talk about United at all.
Which is fine. So like we're about.
I'd rather not.
Tottenham versus Manchester United. That game is happening. Tottenham is at home. Rookie, I'm going to start with you. What's the score? What do you expect?
I'm going to go. I didn't watch Tottenham play over the weekend, so I actually don't know what this new look Tottenham looks like but just winging it, I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2. Okay. 2-2. George, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think
true.
It's going to be a lot of space. So, yeah, I want to go with like a 3-2 Spurs win. Yeah.
Is this a game week to Captain Rashford?
He's going to get a lot of space to run.
That's what he does.
I know, but like, is he going to score?
Right. He's going to be the striker, right?
Yeah, but he's going to run a lot. What I can say is, if you have Rashford, I don't know, just consider it, but he's going to be running a lot. There's going to be a lot of space for him to be running. So let's see. Let's see whether he actually makes good runs. Because the last game, I don't know if you guys saw, there was this run this guy made. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah. Bro, the guy was running with Garnacho. Like, with him. Like, next to him. I'm like, guy, what are you doing?
It was actually with Sancho. It was with Sancho. Both of them.
I'm like, yo, guy, what is going on? Like, make a run. Like, something. Any direction. Any direction, Rashford. No, Rashford was like, let me run with you. Let's see who's faster. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I think the one thing we know about Rashford, at least at this point, we should know is that he's not a striker. Like, it's just not his best
position. I said this over the summer.
Bro, that's even worse, man.
He's a left inside.
At left wing position, Rashford is deadly. Let's be honest, man.
In that position, he has to actually use his brain, right? His final. No. Okay.
In the striking, I watched United over the. The boy looked clueless in that center forward position. He just didn't know what he was doing there.
But that was the position he was playing last season when he was banging goals.
Not really.
Yes, he was. He was a striker.
He is what coming I'm up saying the left is, side. Bro,
if you put him on the
wing, because they were playing this guy at the nine. What's his name?
Weghorst.
Yeah, he was playing the nine.
Weghorst didn't play the nine for that game. Long ago. They quickly changed it to. What was he playing? Attacking mid.
It does not matter, bro. Whenever he got subbed off, Rashford went in the middle. Starting the game, he was playing on the left side, and we saw he was doing on the left
That's
side.
True.
Let's be honest, bro. I watched them in the preseason. That boy looks like they just put 10 people on the field and told him to sit down there. And that's all. He didn't know what he was doing there. And he's this new boy that they boss needs to get back healthy quickly and jump in the club because if the way it's going, United need goals. And if Rashford is not on that left side, I don't know where the goals are going to come from, honestly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mandem, let's get Mandem's prediction.
Is okay.
I think George had everything spot on, but just the scores, who he favors. There's going to be a lot of goals for sure. So if you want some goals and assists, you can look at, you know, United products, you can look at Tottenham products. But overall, full time is going to be 3-2 for United. United is not losing. 3-2.
Damn, so you're saying I shouldn't start Onana? He's not going to give me points.
Oh, this time around, if you want to start Onana, my own problem, because the goals will come. The goals will come. No, there will be goals in that game. There will be goals in that game. It's going to be 3-2.
Okay, we'll see. Vic, what's the score?
Ah, my boy Macy.
Hey, he's money
not
Mace.
Be 007 now. He's gonna pop out this game. These are the kind of games you see Mace in the big games. You know what he needs to. He's gonna bust that midfield, you know, and give you maybe one creative chance and not creative chance to be like, yeah, sister.
Yeah. After all that, it's like gonna give you one creative chance.
I'm
okay,
serious, man.
No. Jokes aside, I think that's going to be a good game. I think Spurs will win, like, you know, what I've seen, it's going to be a lot of goals. United will definitely score because this guy's, Emerson Royale he's going to leave that position. And if they leave Rashford on that right, I'm telling you, they should play a 4-9, play Sancho 4-9. That would be the best thing that'll happen to United. I see, like, everyone this score, I think I see a 2-1-3-2 game in Spurs' favor. But Mason Mount will definitely assist or score this game.
Look at this guy.
So what's the final score?
3-2 or 2-1. Just put it on the board.
Just mention one, my guy. My prediction. if you are betting, do you put winner and half winner?
2-1, 2-1, 2-1.
I'll do 2-1. 2-1 for Spurs.
Yeah, Messi, my if it's no 3-2, Messi might to assist one of the goals. No. Fuck that. 2-2, 2-2. It's gonna be a tie game.
Yo, Vic.
No, it's gonna be a draw game. I've seen it, man. It's gonna be a draw game.
I wonder how you buy groceries, man. I wonder how you grocery shop, because you just buy everything and put it back and pick things and put it back.
No, I buy everything. I don't. I don't know.
Yo, all right. So you guys are all wrong. I'm very disappointed in you.
Oh my god.
United is going to win the game, as you guys have said. Tottenham, they want to attack. All that stuff is nice. It plays right into United's hands. United is best as a counter-attacking team. They don't play football. Let's stop lying. Since Ten Hag has been there, it's been a long time since United played football. They're a counter-attacking team. It's perfect. Rashford will run. Garnacho get one-on-one. It's perfect. I have United winning 2-1. I even want to make it 3-1, but let's keep it at 2-1. Tottenham will try a little bit. So that's the score. Go ahead and keep Onana. He's going to get a lot of saves.
All right. Sancho needs to play false nine, man, for that game, for the goal.
I was going to bring that up. Like, that's a good option. Sancho needs to play Rashford, false striker, nine. You're wasting him, honestly, at this point.
I think Garnacho
is actually looking lively, and he wants
he's
to play.
He's looking good, so man. He wants to play. I don't know why this man is holding Maguire back.
You see, knowing Ten Hag, right, the next game, he's not going to start Garnacho.
I mean, Garnacho was horrible, so, I mean, I don't mind that.
He's not going to start him. So, yeah. Definitely, it looks like Sancho is going to play that false nine position. Because before the first game, I told George, I'm like, it's two things that will happen. Either he's going to start Garnacho and play Rashford ST, or start Sancho false nine and then push Rashford to the left side. Mm-hmm. So he ended up going with, you know, Garnacho. The first option, right? So it didn't really work out.
Garnacho was horrible.
I love him. He's going to have his time. He's going to, you know, mesmerize you people this season. Don't worry. Nacho will fry, but just relax for him.
That's a rookie player, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yes, we know. He'll fry. He's good.
I don't know about frying.
Yes, he is.
I don't know about
Nacho fries. He's going to fry.
Yeah, I've never had Nacho fries, to be honest. All right, let's go to City versus Newcastle. Another big game. Big game. This is the game of the weekend. The one to watch.
It's not Captain Isak this game. I'm telling you. He's banging a hat trick.
Oh, wow. Okay, Vic, let's start with you. Tell us the score. For once, Vic knows what's going to happen. So, what's the score? City versus Newcastle. City's at home, by the way.
Oh, City's winning that shit, man. I don't know what the hell y'all niggas is talking about.
Yeah.
You are a clown. You are such a clown.
You can't take anywhere.
Yo, Havertz. I say Havertz. God forbid. What did my mouth just say? Oh, my goodness.
Triggering.
Haaland, two goals. Isak will give you one goal. So it's going to be like a 2-1 game.
Either Haaland scores
an assist. But Haaland is definitely scoring this game.
He's so Captain Haaland.
If you take your captain off of Haaland, good luck to you.
I mean, some people never put it on Haaland. I don't know what they were thinking.
People like Brian, they don't deserve to be in the league. So keep it pushing. 2-1 game.
2-1. Interesting. Rookie, what do you say? City versus Newcastle.
City versus Newcastle. I am going to go with
Castle.
3-2 Newcastle.
Because KDB's not there, right?
George, how you feeling? See, George.
I mean, Rookie sharing her opinion.
So. Okay. I think if Newcastle pulls that off, like, a lot of people are going to look at them.
Everyone's head is going to
a little bit more. A little bit more seriously. George, what's the score?
I mean, I don't think City's going to win that game. I think it's going to be a tie. The reason I'm saying that is I think these guys are tired, right? They just played today. Newcastle's probably going to come in with a lot of energy. So if City wins this game, it's going to be really close, but I don't think they're going to win. I think it's going to be like a 3-3 type of game.
3-3?
Or like 2-2 type
Nobody's
of game.
Nobody's defending?
Bro, it's going to be a lot of goals. Let's just put it that way.
So which one do you want, 3-3 or 2-2?
Let's just go with 2-2.
But guys, stop reading my notes, please.
It's going to be 3-3. It's going to be a lot of goals, but like I don't think... If City wins the game, they're going to win by one goal. These guys are tired. Newcastle has a lot of energy, so... Yeah,
Okay.
And the game was on Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Mandem, what do you think the score is?
I think, you know, the people you hang out with usually will influence you one day at a time, you know what I'm saying? So I think that the gods are beginning to touch you guys a little by little, and you're seeing the light, because that game is going to be a 2-2 draw.
So yo, this is crazy.
George did very well to, you know, tap into the vision of, you know, what the gods have.
It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, so man. It's okay.
It's going to be, George, let me bless you, my son. It's going to be.
Damn.
It's going to be a. It's
gonna like be a Sunday
two,
quick
2-2 game, man.
2-2.
Yeah.
I'm actually very impressed with both Mandem and George. You guys got the score correct.
Dolapo, no, stop.
You guys are crazy when I'm right.
You cannot be impressed with the box.
They have to be crazy when I'm right.
It's going to be 2-2. You guys gave a lot of good reasons, so I'm not going to add to it. For the people out there, I just want you to see Anthony Gordon actually started last week. It looks like he might actually have a role in this Newcastle team, like a big role. Hopefully he can keep Harvey Barnes out the team. And that's an almost purple player, right? So, you know what that means. Let's do our last prediction for this episode. West Ham versus Chelsea. This is the Chelsea episode, so we must end on Chelsea, obviously. George, what's the score?
Chelsea versus West Ham.
West Ham's at home.
West Ham is at home. That game is typically low scoring. So I'm going to go with like a... 2-0. A 2-0 Chelsea win.
Oh, your head is dead. Your vision is clear.
Look at that. George is literally copying my notes, guys. I'm so sorry. Yo, I have to hide my notes next time. Because this guy is just stealing the answers from me. That's crazy.
I'll change it. I'll change it to like 2-1.
Ask Mandem.
Oh, Mandem, we're ready for you. What's the score?
2-1 Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea. Okay. We're all on the Chelsea boat. Vic, what do you think?
Clean sheets. I think this is our first clean sheet of the season. 2-0.
2-0. Okay. Rookie, what do you think?
2-2.
Hey! Easy, Abakam. Oh, my God.
Yo, Rookie, who's going to score for West Ham?
Jared Bowen.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll be very disappointed if Chelsea, like, don't win this game because...
Yeah, man, me too.
West Ham, they're not bad, but they're not good. So you should beat them. Especially with all the new energy coming in, like...
Well, title contenders last season failed to win that game, so...
Who is title contenders?
Oh, but I saw that happening. Like, I told you guys that was going to happen. Arsenal. I saw that, so, you know.
She said title contender.
I don't know why Arsenal is getting shade. Like, what did they do?
It's not shade. They were title contenders. Yes,
No, they weren't. Facts. They absolutely were.
300 days.
Exactly.
365 days on the field.
let's do our final words and wrap up this episode. Vic, we're gonna start with you. Final words.
Let's do the Arsenal Palace game now. Guys,
don't do this. Just go with what you can say. Anything you want about Arsenal Palace. If you know the score, tell us. But we're not all gonna do it. You don't know the score. I don't know why you brought it up.
I'm here.
Do you think about Olise coming to Chelsea?
Oh, Dolapo.
I'm so sorry. There's like, so much happening with Chelsea.
Please,
man.
George,
relax now. Relax. Do you know that boy chose Chelsea over City? Let's be honest. Like, let's put
Yo,
that out.
Yo, City was linked. I saw the links. Is that why George is afraid? You don't want to talk about it?
I don't really care.
He came out and he said he wants Chelsea over. You remember? Title winners. Let's not forget. But George, I understand, you know. But it's not. There's no beef with me and City. Me and City were cool. You know, me and City were party. So me and City, you see, people like Arsenal, you know, United here and there sometimes. But Liverpool, they're entering into my market small. I don't want them to enter. But they're entering into my market. I don't want them. But you see how it goes. But you see that boy, Olise, let him come back from injury. I've been shouting this. I don't know if I've been shouting into my chest or out loud. But that boy
it's
is
in
a
your
kid.
Chest. You were not shouting.
You've been shouting. I'm like, I've never heard Vic talk about him. What the hell?
Not one time.
Stop it.
Like, not one time.
I don't know if it's in my chest or in my.
It's
out
in
loud.
Your chest. Trust and believe it's in your chest. You better relax, boy.
You guys should stop this, man. Let me enjoy myself, man. So that's in my chest and it's out loud. I've been shouting it always somehow. I don't know. Whoever is hearing it yet, if you're not hearing it, I know the gods hear it. Jesus in heaven hears it. This boy is a gift. I'm just praying that, you know, he comes back from injury really healthy, you know, strong, fit. And because I think him and that camp position, we saw him at the end of last season, 11 assists. That is for a Crystal Palace team. You know, even though us and Palace, you know, getting goals is also on the same boat, but I don't think that would be the same for us this season. But now he's a good signing, man. If that goes over, hopefully tomorrow by Friday that can clear. But that's a good signing, honestly. That's a good signing. I know we're looking at Kudus and Cherky. You know, those boys. We have scouters. Let me know from like Chelsea has starting. Our scouting department is looking like a whole different.
Stop it,
I'm moving like City.
Yeah, scouting in a way, guys that we all know. Like
that's, it doesn't matter. Right. You know them, but they're scouting. They're the ones that were scouting in Southampton, Brighton.
Literally,
they're bringing
players
in boys.
That everybody knows.
It doesn't matter. Those guys are visionaries. You know, we're seeing them. They are seeing future and beyond. But I'm just happy that we're bringing in good talents that can progress the team in a positive direction.
Okay.
Pochettino, like I'll keep saying it, he has shown me signs, but I'm not putting my, what is it? You know that thing when you put in paint and then you stamp it on book or the paper.
The stamp
is not there yet. You know, I want to see at least for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Let me see what Chelsea
does. That's all you need to see, just 4 or 5 weeks?
Maybe even 10. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Let's just see how it goes game by game. I'll keep saying it, but overall, good signings and... Man, I just want us to be progressive. I want us to play good football as a Chelsea, as a club. But man, that's my prayer, man. Last year I was thinking, you guys should pray for my club. I want to bring the same prayer again. Just keep praying. Praying for my club, man. That's all I ask for. But overall, it's gonna be a wonder. I'm just glad the season is back. You know, I get to, you know, be in the podcast, having the banter with my guys, and you know, it's a good thing. I'm just happy. So, you know. Let's see how the season ends, man.
The way Vic's energy is
so
like,
happy. I know.
From the last season, this guy was stressed, man.
Who won't be stressed?
Like, Vic will come in. It's like, yo, Vic, if you mention Chelsea, Vic is going to fight
with you. Literally come here and insult everybody.
You see if I'm happy now. If the season starts to go left, I will come here and I'll be sad. People should let me be.
No, we want you to be happy, to be honest. We want you to be happy.
Thank you. I'm glad we've left some waves. Let them go. The wasted waste. I'm glad they've
Vic
left.
Vic was really out here coming for everybody last season. I'm so confused.
No, I wasn't cool.
Yo, Rookie, let's get your final words.
My final words?
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? My final words, they go out to you, Vic. I'm so happy to see you smiling. You know, last season, you came for me for an honest prediction. Turned out my prediction was even nice. So
let's not talk about that. It's a new year. Let's not bring that up. It's a new year.
I'll accept your apology.
No apologies coming from me. I've told you this.
Like I said, I'll accept your apology. Otherwise, I might have to make, you know, another nasty prediction.
Swear for us, you can swear you want. At this point, I'm ready. Whatever happens to Chelsea happens. All I'm seeing is good progressive football. If it's 8, we finish. As long as we've seen, it's better than 12. 4 plays better than 12. it doesn't matter.
No,
whatever prediction you want to give us. Nothing but
also, shout out to Liverpool and their fans. It's been a tough week for y'all. I hope it continues to get tougher.
Wow.
How have you been a record fee without confirming if the player wants to come to your club first? Just out here. Jurgen Klopp looking like Boo Boo the Fool. Talking about he messed up, you know, back during the Pogba transfer window, and clearly the landscape has changed. The guy hasn't even seen landscape yet. It's now that he's saying the landscape changed. Like, is he for real? Mm. Is he for real? So yeah, shout out to those Liverpool fans who were celebrating prematurely. Shout out to all the receipts that I have for a lot of the nonsense that's said. Just know that people who keep chatting shit, I've always got the receipts to keep you in check. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. Ah, thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. The reference to the Klopp comments was when Pogba was signed. I think Klopp said something like something to the effect of like, "I don't want to be part of football."
He said that he would stop.
Yeah,
he said stop coaching. Stop coaching once
that becomes the norm.
If he had to purchase a player for that amount of money. Well, we're still waiting on his resignation letter because he's still here.
Well, he didn't purchase, so he still writes. He tried, but he didn't get it. Yeah, So it was a trick. They wanted to trick Chelsea the whole time. George, final words.
Man, so my final words, I want to honor, Lionel Andres Messi.
Oh Lord!
So he took the worst team in the MLS and took them to the finals of the League Cup.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy.
I'm here watching MLS, watching greatness. If you guys want to contribute, please contribute and, pay for my flight ticket to Tennessee and also get me a match day ticket so I can actually go watch Messi. But anyway, shout out to Messi. He's still doing goat things, People are saying it's a script, but, we've seen that they've written some script for Ronaldo, but he cannot, go through with that script. He's missing chances here and there, missing one-on-ones, empty nets. Anyways, man, Messi is your GOAT, whether you like it or not. He's here in MLS. He's here to stay. He's a world champion, and he's about to win the Ballon d'Or in MLS. Let us say.
What about your boy Haaland?
Huh? He has a lot of time. Bro, did you watch him today? What did he do today?
I saw.
Exactly. Exactly, man. But yeah, man, shout out to Messi, World Cup champion. That's where my final words go, man.
Okay, thank you so much. Mandem, final words. You're on mute.
Muted.
Because you were making too much noise.
Hey, so yeah, it's good we are ending at this time, man. It's actually very good. Thank you. But my final words are going to be that it's going out to United fans. I feel like they have quickly forgotten that we literally just, came back from, a time where United had nothing to show on the field as a tactical team or playing a system to, making to the third position and winning a Carabao Cup, which is not a great achievement for United, but it is something above where we used to be. And so people have all these high expectations that United was supposed to, run a riot and score 5 goals and all that stuff, right? I need to let them know that give the players chances, give them a chance as to people who just joined the team, put your expectations at reasonable levels. Don't just be calling players out just because you don't like them. Just give them a chance to see, if 1 or 2, 3, 4 games they're not doing anything different, then we can actually call them out. Take it easy. It's just the first game of the season. United is going to do great this season. Things are going to be fine. We're going to smile. So shout outs to everybody that is loyally supporting United. It's going to be a great weekend. And big ups to the fans for listening to us. The gods are always here to serve. Peace.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Vic has a question. I don't know why Vic has a question after final words, but go ahead. What's your question?
Quick question, man. I was on Twitter /TalkSport. I think it's TalkSports. And I've been hearing this talk is, I want to know, is Liverpool still... I don't want anyone to get this out of context.
Huh.
Don't take it out of context, please. Huh. Is Liverpool still a big club? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want me to answer that?
Are they still a big club? Outside of this whole Caicedo issue, is Liverpool... Because I feel like Liverpool is still living on the 30s or the 20s. Or the
That's how I feel too, man. So here's the thing, man.
What?
Vic.
What? Yeah. No, it's an honest question. No, I understand history wise, trophy wise,
Liverpool didn't win the Premier League recently.
Leicester won it too.
Liverpool won it more recently.
Yeah, but Leicester also won it.
Liverpool didn't win Champions League.
Yeah, they did against Spurs.
So what do you? I mean, I understand the question. My only part of contention. You can answer the question, but you can't say they're living off of the 20s. Come on,
no,
they literally won Champions League not that long ago.
My question, I think the question, maybe it's not Liverpool, I'm not wording it right.
Elite team. I think that's what you want to say. Is it an elite? Like, if you put like classes of teams, there's class A, class B, class C. Is Liverpool a class A team? I think that's what you want to
add. Well, they're definitely not class A.
Okay, outside of that, what I've been watching lately, I think, I don't know if it's this old Liverpool fans or this old man that just wants to go on radio show or TV show and just try to make it look like Chelsea's not one of the big, like one of the big clubs in England. You know, making it, no, I want to, it's not about Chelsea. It's not about Chelsea.
Clearly about Chelsea.
No, I want to, no, because what I'm seeing now is, you know, these players are going to Chelsea because it's Chelsea is in London and everything is in London. They have Louis Vuitton store.
That is a factor.
Burberry store. Why is that I want to understand, why is that a factor? Why are these players not just coming to Chelsea? Because the past 20, 23 years or 25 years, Chelsea has been one of the elite clubs winning trophies. I understand Liverpool, they had their time, they were winning trophies.
Has won trophies in the past 20 years. I know,
they have. That's what I'm saying. No, they have won trophies. I'm talking about the last, two decades. You know, clubs like City, they don't consider City like a big club anymore. Or not anymore, but they don't consider City a big club. They don't consider Chelsea a big club.
So I think the question is, they don't consider some of these clubs historical. I think that is what's going on right now. Liverpool is considered a big club because
they're not.
They have history. You understand? A club like Man City or Chelsea, they don't think you guys have any type of history. I disagree with them.
Yeah, too. Like,
because I think Chelsea is bigger than Arsenal. Like, but for some reason they think Arsenal is bigger.
So George, we're gonna have guys. We're gonna end the episode. I'm not gonna let you guys do what you're about to do. George, you're gonna give us the official answer from George, not from the Uncut 90. Is Liverpool still a big team?
I don't want to use that. Like, let's rephrase that question.
Right? However you want to rephrase it.
Is Liverpool an elite team? I don't think they are elite. In England, I don't think they are elite. Right? I think in England, there's only one elite team.
Okay.
And that's Man City. Right? And then you have like a semi-elite team, and that is Chelsea. Right? And Chelsea and United. You just put both of them together. Right? And then the rest are in Tibi. You know what in Tibi means?
What the hell is that? You're a bad guy. Hey, John, you are a very bad boy.
But yeah, but
he doesn't believe what he's saying.
Like, it's just 100% agenda. Like, I don't believe...
It's not agenda. I don't think
it's not agenda.
Even he does not believe what he's saying.
History-wise, Liverpool is a big club. I'm just talking about, you know, fucking now. Look at our generation. How many trophies did Liverpool win in our generation? I'm not talking about the 20s, the 60s, the 50s. I'm talking about our generation. From the 1990s, even I wasn't born in 1990. From the 1990s to 2003, how many trophies? You know, us as young people, as young kids, we didn't see. Okay. Over here, and it's based off of history. United, we actually saw United win things. It's not even like from 95 to 2000 and maybe 13 or recently.
92, 93.
I'm just saying from when I was born. I'm not saying I'm from when I was born 95. You know, United has
George,
been winning.
Are you using
things.
Your football I age? I said George. Vic, are you using your football age?
No, this is my actual age. What are you talking about?
You were born 95.
Yes, 95. I was born 95.
Oh, Vic, please go and sleep. What do you mean?
How are you going to argue the guy about when he was born? Guys,
I don't know. Wait,
this is
when you think
the
I was born.
George, Vic, is a football team trying to scout you and you're trying to cut down your age or something?
I don't know why I allowed this. I'm not supposed to allow any questions after final words. Guys,
no,
thank you so much for listening to this episode.
It's an honest question, though. It's an honest question. I'm not even trying
Vic,
to throw shade
at
Liverpool.
Answer. You want us to keep talking? No.
No, I didn't get an answer now. Luki, give me your answer.
Vic, please.
This doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to. We have two.
Going to be long because then she's going to answer and you're going to want to respond.
Just give her, Ricky, okay, take one
Vic,
minute. Take
Vic,
1 minute.
I'm going to
meet
you. Why am I arguing with Vic? Yo, okay. Ricky, don't take a minute. Guys, thank you for this episode. Thank you for listening.
We'll be back soon.
We appreciate everyone. I was going to say something, but I don't remember anymore because now we're talking about Liverpool being a big club. And the correct answer is yes, Liverpool is still a big club.